Hey everyone, welcome to another Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune and Dusty White of Coramdale Church and Pastor Chris Hemmelman of First City Church. Every Wednesday, we sit down and talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're asking the question, what is a healthy gospel community?
Some of the best podcast feedback we've gotten on the Wednesday Conversation has to do with the stuff we've done on gospel communities. And we are always seeking to pursue better health in gospel communities. I made a joke last night. A friend of mine and I were at a meeting, and after the meeting was over, I said, that was kind of like a bad small group. And he just started laughing because everybody knows what a bad small group is. Like you've been in a small group or a Bible study that's just not very good. And so any of us that care about the vibrancy and health of the church always care about how do we try to ensure healthy small groups, healthy gospel communities. So we've been trying to refine this over the course of 12 or 13 years at Coramdale, and there's a little booklet we put together called Gospel Community Basics, and this is one of the topics in that booklet, which is available on the Gospel Resource Network, Mike.
It's actually not.
It's
We haven't made it available yet.
That's interesting because the copyright says copyright Gospel Resource Network.
Well, we wanted to try it out on our people for a certain period of time and make the tweaks necessary before we made it available.
So
to
you
the public.
Can't. This is what Mike is saying is this isn't even content that you can get.
It's on the Wednesday conversation.
You can't have it. Is that what
we're
taunting people here?
I think this since it's become podcast worthy, I think it's also become public worthy. So
no, let's be like limited release. If you want like a. It'd be like a special album. Like if you want a limited release version of it, you could get that.
You got to ask for it. Yeah.
We could snail mail it.
We could. Well, that's what we do anyway.
Yeah.
So we have four marks of a healthy gospel community. I think these go all the way back to Will Walker was the first one to sort of try to articulate these when he was leading gospel communities at Coramdale. We've refined them over time. They still, to me, are the four basic things we look for. And so as we assess the health of any gospel community within our church, we use these four markers. So think of them as signs, markers. You know, if you're going to the doctor and trying to get your health checkup, that's what this is. What is a healthy gospel community? Four things, and we're sort of going to briefly talk about each one. So if you're listening to this and you're a church leader, I'd encourage you to think about this in terms of how you think about the health of the small group systems in your church. If you're listening to this and you're a Christian who's a part of a church, I want you to think about how do you contribute to these marks of health within the community that you're a part of? So in your gospel community, in your small group, how can you push these things forward? The biggest mistake I see people make is they assume that ensuring health is a leader's job. It's a pastor's job or it's the gospel community leader's job. Actually, ensuring health is just everyone's job. And being a disciple of Jesus means, man, I want people to become disciples. And to the extent that that requires community, I want to be immersed in a healthy, Jesus-centered, gospel-rich community, and that's on me as much as it's on everybody else in the room. So hear this as an invitation to care about these four things and to pursue these four things. Here's the first one, gospel-centered conversation. In a healthy gospel community, people talk about Jesus and his gospel, and look, this phrase gospel-centered is becoming a little bit cliche because everybody wants to use it for whatever. It's a great prefix to whatever you want to put after gospel-centered. But here's what we mean by that. I think it's possible for conversations to be focused on the Bible, but not the gospel. Mm-hmm. Or it's possible for conversations to become like truth-centered, like we care about doctrine, but not necessarily gospel-centered. And so we do want to talk about the Bible. We want to talk about what is true, but we want to do that in a way that gets us to actually talking about the Savior, talking about Jesus, his person and work, and how what he has done connects to our actual existence. That's what we mean by gospel-centered conversation, something that gets us to how is Jesus, our Redeemer, central to our lives and our actual existence. And when I say Jesus, our Redeemer, I mean sort of in the fullness of that, all of God's redemptive work throughout history and the presence of the Holy Spirit. So I'm not talking about one of the three persons of the Trinity. I'm saying we get there through usually thinking about Jesus and his work, but that connects us to all the work that God is doing and the presence of the Spirit in our lives. And so this is essentially, you could say this like a conversation that gets to the Trinity and how who God is and what God has done in Jesus connects to my real existence. Mm.
Yeah, so it's the gospel-centered conversation isn't always the gospel to get you saved, but we see the gospel as formative for our whole life. So that's kind of what we're saying here, right? Like, we're applying the gospel to whatever comes up on a Tuesday night after dinner.
Yes, and we're saying, you know, if you have a great Bible study in James, and somehow no one ever brings up the fact that Jesus died and rose from the dead and that matters for us, mm-hmm. then we might have missed the point of James.
Yeah.
Or Proverbs or whatever you happen to be studying.
Yeah.
So, Bob, how would you practically advise a gospel community to enter into conversations like this? Because what I've experienced often is when you try to press this and try to help people walk it out, what they can hear at times is, well, we don't talk about theology, or we don't actually talk about the Bible per se. And so we can sometimes interpret this to mean that we swing all the way back away from talking about scripture, talking about theology. So how do we still honor the place of talking, getting into scripture, caring about theology, talking about theology, but applying it in the way that you're talking about here?
That's a great question. It's messy.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I think it's best to think, if you start to put so much pressure on every single conversation your GC has that it has to meet some criteria of what gospel-centered equals, you will kill it fast. Mm-hmm. So I think it's best to think about a month at a time, right? So if 1 week we have a great conversation about the Bible, but I feel like it kind of, we didn't really get to how does this connect to my real existence and how does this make me worship Jesus and how does this invite me to gospel transformation? Okay, that's okay. I'll get, like, let's do better next week. You know what I mean? Like, I think it can. This can become one of those things that people get really puritanical about in ways that aren't helpful. But Chris, I think I would just say, like, we're actually seeking to move deeper into theology but get to worship. You know, when I think about gospel-centered, I think about, do people walk out more impressed with Jesus, more convinced that Jesus actually has something to say to their real existence, more convinced that God's power actually wants to become real in their life? 2 weeks ago in my gospel community, we talked about thy kingdom come, because we're talking about the Lord's Prayer. And so my goal in that is, do we actually walk out with a deeper longing for the kingdom of God to come? Does our conversation make us say, man, I want the kingdom to come more in my life? That's what we're after. Mm-hmm. If we walk out sort of congratulating ourselves on the fact that we had a good Bible study, kind of misses a little bit. So I'm answering your how question by more of a, what do I ask after a gospel community? Like, when everybody's left my house, what do I try to evaluate? I'm kind of going, you know, do people seem to walk out like more impressed with Jesus? Did we really talk about actual life? Did we get below the surface with each other? And, you know, over the course of 4 or 5 weeks, does that happen kind of regularly?
Bob, aren't you also getting after thy kingdom come with the scriptures out, with the Bible out,
yeah, absolutely,
and with prayer?
Yeah.
So you're having a conversation, maybe a gospel-centered conversation about thy kingdom come, but the scriptures are coming out at the same time.
Yeah, I'm just saying thy kingdom come is a, like, the kingdom is, the gospel is the gospel of the kingdom. So when I say a gospel-centered conversation, I'm saying, like, yeah, as we're talking about what God's kingdom is, somebody better be mentioning the gospel. You know, and again, this is a good test of, am I discipling the people in my gospel community? Do they see thy kingdom come as an announcement of what Jesus is bringing in his life, death, and resurrection? I hope so. So here's a couple questions you can ask to assess this marker of health. Are people really honest and authentic? Like, do you get down to the nitty-gritty of where people really are, or is the conversation kind of surfacey? That's one question you can ask. Second, are there real stories of significant spiritual formation within your gospel community? Like, do you see people coming to Christ, repenting of sin, growing in Christ? Would they say, man, this community has been vital to my discipleship in this past year? Mm. If everybody around the room would say, like, we really like each other, but this gathering is not vital to anyone's discipleship, this hasn't really affected me in how I relate to the Lord, you might be missing something there. So those are a couple questions you can ask. All right, second mark of a healthy gospel community would simply be this: formative community. Formative community. Any of you guys want to elaborate on what we mean by that?
I think it plays off what you just said. Like, if your gospel-centered conversations are creating a context for people to be formed and shaped and transformed, converted to Christ, or continuing to grow in Christ, that's what we mean by formative community.
Yeah, it's not just people hanging out and enjoying each other's company, but those relationships really are affecting my walk with Jesus. I am being impacted by the people I'm around, and their own walk with Jesus is shaping me, and my walk with Jesus is shaping them. And so there's an aspect that being part of this community has actually changed me from when I first entered it to, you know, at whatever point you kind of look at it over time.
I was just having a conversation with a guy that I used to be in gospel community with a few years back, and we were actually talking about how that particular gospel community experience for about 2 years was a really formative experience, because we watched people even get married within that gospel community. We watched people buy a car for a single mom. And so it also, formative community also gets beyond just the content and the gospel-centered conversation to my life is affected by these people and they're affecting me and I'm affecting them.
So it really means that you're getting to know those people and you're involved in each other's life and also their spiritual growth.
Yeah, and I think an evaluative marker there would be I'm a different kind of person because of these people.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Mm-hmm. Another question you can ask is simply this: are people taking responsibility for each other? I had a conversation recently with a really wonderful woman who's been part of our church, and she was critiquing her gospel community. And she said, she was telling me a story of this non-Christian who was present, who had sort of expressed skepticism and doubt and distrust and sort of told, you know, sort of laid all his cards on the table. Here's why I'm not convinced of the gospel. And she said, and no one stepped into that moment and sort of like shared the gospel or talked, you know, confronted some of his unbelief. There, we had the relational credibility that could have been a really powerful moment, but no one did it. And so she was saying, so she went away sort of like down on the gospel community. And my question to her was, why didn't you enter in that moment? Like, she's critiquing everybody else in the group and saying, how come no one shared the gospel with this guy? And I was like, well, were you there? And whose permission were you waiting for? Like, it's a sign that there's a lack of, I'm not feeling responsible. If I feel responsible for the people in this group and like, man, God's put me here as a means of whatever he's doing in their lives, that keeps me from being passive and being able to walk away from it, not like that, and critique everybody else because Chris is a bad leader because he should have said something and he didn't. But I have to ask, well, maybe it's me that needs to say something. And when there's that sense of everybody in the group is taking responsibility for each other, that's a mark of formative community. To the extent that people are sort of consuming and expecting the leader or whoever's sort of hosting to provide the experience, that's a sign of a lack of formative community. All right, third marker of healthy gospel community would be intentional mission. This is an interesting one because this is prone to a lot of idealism. I think people have a very idealistic picture of what does it mean to be on mission together.
You mean we're all sharing the gospel right now?
Yeah, I mean, we're like, yeah, it's like we're planting a church in our neighborhood together, and, you know.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, which is great. That should be the vision we have, but I think there can be this real idealistic of like, we all are like on mission together, and we're committed to the same sort of purpose, and I do think that's like an ideal expression of a gospel community. But again, the ideal can become the enemy of the real because we always are disappointed of like, well, I mean, there's this guy in my group and he just shows up on, you know, not really on mission with us. And so like there can just be this picture that we have, I think, of what intentional mission looks like that's not realistic to how God actually pulls us into his mission.
Expound on that a little bit more, Bob. What's it realistically look like then?
Well, here's what I always say. The mission of God is making disciples. So to the extent that we are intentionally committed to making disciples of one another and of people that aren't here yet, then we're on mission. Now, that can take less pure and more pure forms, right? The purest sort of we're on mission together is, man, we're actually engaging a neighborhood, and so there's a sort of a defined geography within which we're making relationships, trying to share the gospel, trying to pull people into a context of discipleship. That's beautiful. However, it can also happen when we're sort of geographically dispersed throughout the city and there's sort of like less of a geographical focus to our mission. If when we come together, man, we're here to be disciples and make disciples, and we're actively about that. Here's what I've noticed. Every gospel community that grows and is healthy is always focused on like, I want you to be a disciple and you to be a disciple, and I want anybody who comes in here, I want to help them become a disciple of Jesus. Gospel communities that become unhealthy, somehow they like really like hanging out together. They might really like each other. They might feel a comfort in the rhythm of being together, but there is not an intentional commitment to outward facing discipleship. And discipleship always involves sending. It always involves caring about people that aren't here yet. It always involves evangelism and reaching non-Christians. And so if there's a mission problem, there's always a discipleship problem, I guess is another way to say it.
Guys, help me think through this. One of the last sentences in this section is the gospel community exists to make disciples together, and they're willing to make the necessary sacrifices in time, relational patterns, budget, etc., in order to see that mission fulfilled. What does that look like? What are we calling the people in our church to?
Sacrifice for the mission of God.
Yeah.
And an orienting of my life around the mission of God. But this is where there also has to be an appropriate deference paid to where people are in their maturity, right? Because, again, you can have these real idealistic, like, unless we're all committed in the same way, time, right, relationship, budget, then we're not on mission together. Mm. Well, look, in any community, you're probably going to have some people that are more committed than others. That's the nature of walking with Christ. Is there is a difference of maturity. Some people are brand new and they're just stepping into this. Some people are really passionate. They've been walking with Jesus for a long time. So I think there needs to be an honest realism here, mm-hmm, about that, Mike. But the idea is we're calling people to die to self and exist for the mission of God. Mm-hmm. And to the extent that the people in my community are not there, I'm not okay with that. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not judging them or condemning them, but I am trying to urge them, pray for them, challenge them toward a deeper commitment to the mission of God.
I think it's also key here to say that they're all pulling in the same direction.
Yeah.
You can be a participant in a gospel community and be all about your cause, and then the person next to you is all about their cause, and so everybody has their own ideas of what they want to be doing individually. And I've seen that break apart gospel communities effectively on mission as well, because when the GC is pulling together toward mission, they can actually make a dent and make disciples. Mm. But when everybody's got their own mini campaign going on, it's really just discombobulated.
Yeah, the important thing is that we have this category of together. And it's very easy, and I even fall into this, to see my mission, especially to non-Christians, in very isolated terms, where I kind of have my non-Christian friends that I'm reaching. But I think the important category here is thinking how, in any context, whether it's discipling someone else that is already a Christian or someone who's reaching someone who's a non-Christian, how can I do this with other Christians? How can I bring my gospel community into this? And that might look different for different people, and it might look different in different seasons, but I have this category. I care that this is done in community, and so I'm constantly thinking through and wrestling through that.
Let me just have a little mini soapbox here, if you guys will let me. My concern with the language of mission is that people use this language, and what they really mean, to go back to something you said, Dusty, is sort of my pet thing that I care about, which is usually a cause or a, something good to be doing in the world. But for instance, like if my cause is adoption, or my cause is this neighborhood association, I expect everybody to be about that with me. Here's the question I always want to ask. Is anyone meeting Jesus because your gospel community exists? I asked this question to some church planters I was with recently. I just said, okay, this is great. You guys are good with the language of mission. Have you baptized anyone because of this mission? Mm. And they were just like, no. And I'm like, okay, so you have your whole church using the language of mission, but no one's coming to Christ? That's a problem. And so especially as Christians, I think there's a good, healthy, increased desire in the modern church to care about the common good. Like, how does the city better because we're here? How are we just contributing to the needs of society? Yes to all of that. And are people meeting Jesus? Are we sharing the gospel? Is there evangelism and discipleship happening? Remember, the mission is making disciples of Jesus. And ultimately, we as disciples contribute to the common good. But if the only mission you have is a common good mission that doesn't seem to be leading to, oh man, Jesus is drawing people to himself through our existence, then you need to slow down and ask, are we actually on this mission of making disciples, or are we on the mission of you should care about the nonprofit that I care about? All right, fourth mark, effective leadership.
Ooh.
Effective leadership. A healthy gospel community is led by qualified, effective leaders and makes qualified, effective leaders.
Mm.
To say it another way, the pool of leadership in a gospel community should be growing. You know, people should be moving toward a greater ownership and leadership so that we can multiply and send out more gospel communities. This is just a principle of, you know, things that have life reproduce. Things that are living have a component of growth and reproduction to them. And so a healthy gospel community has to be growing leaders.
So you said qualified and effective. So what qualifies me as a leader? And how do I know I'm being effective?
Well, what qualifies you is you are a Christian filled with the Holy Spirit. It's as simple as that.
Oh, so I can do that.
Yeah, every Christian is called to some form of leadership just because the Spirit lives in us and we're supposed to be living on mission with Jesus. Now, not everybody has the same gifting as leaders, and not everybody is going to be equally effective. That's the parable of the talents. You know, mm-hmm. Jesus saying, hey, I gave this person one talent, this person five talents, this person 10 talents. That's just a metaphor to say not all of us are wired the same or gifted the same or empowered in the same way. And so there will be a variance and a difference in the kinds of leadership various people manifest. That's all well and good. We need to be great with that. We need to be okay with that. We need to help people understand what kind of leader are they. As an example, for my own life, I tend to be a leader through words and teaching and content. My wife is very much a leader in the realm of hospitality and mercy, and so she just creates space where people feel blessed and happy to be there, but she's not going to want to lead a conversation in the same way that I do. So there's a different shape of that our leadership takes, but those are both forms of leadership. So I'm trying to answer your qualified piece. Mm-hmm. Effective means people follow you. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's and follow you not in the sense of like, I want to be just like Dusty White, but like when you lead, there's a sense of like, okay, you're leading. And that's one of those intangibles.
We're
of
going
just
somewhere.
Like, yeah, yeah.
We're
you know,
doing something.
This is like an old thing I think my dad used to say, but like, if you think you're leading and no one's following, then you're actually just taking a walk.
That's, you know, good. Like, wow. Just, that's good. I mean, which is true about some gospel communities.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. Exactly. So, this is the thing, is like in gospel communities, we have to honor the dynamic of leadership. We have to recognize like God's gifted probably some people in this community to kind of lead us, and that's great. And God's gifted some of us in a more behind the scenes kind of way. That's great. To the extent that we want this group to be well led and want to see it multiply leaders and want to sort of fan the flame of leadership, that's a good and God-honoring thing.
So this fourth point, effective leadership, has the implications of we're gonna grow, we're gonna multiply. I thought we were in this thing for a long time. I thought we were just gonna be hanging out and, you know, growing with Jesus together.
Oh,
like why would we want to multiply?
Because Mike, we're on mission together, and the mission is making disciples. And here's my conviction: if Jesus hasn't come back yet, but if he did promise that he's going to build his church and the gates of hell aren't going to prevail against it, here's what that means. It's going to grow. And I don't mean that in like a raw American sense of like, it's always up and to the right. Everything's always going to be. I just mean like Jesus is growing his kingdom. And so if we are making disciples and the Holy Spirit is blessing those efforts, the thing is going to be growing, whether it's super fast or slower, doesn't matter. There's a sense of growth and Jesus adding people in the same way that we see in the book of Acts, right? Yeah. The Lord added to their number, yeah, those who are being saved. Yep. That's going to happen. And so I just say it this way. If you don't want your gospel community to multiply, you probably don't have a very big vision for discipleship and of what you want to see the Lord do. Mm-hmm. I would hope that everybody who's like, I love Jesus and I want other people to love Jesus, feels like, well, if I start a thing in my living room, I eventually want to have two things because my living room isn't big enough. Like, mm-hmm, if you don't have that passion, then
right,
you're probably thinking too small in terms of what it means to trust the Lord.
Yeah, not just practically, which is a huge thing. Space is an issue. But also, if you're effectively making disciples, then that means you're going to have some leaders emerging up and out of there that should start to feel a little fidgety, that just want to grow with the Lord, and then therefore they're going to need to be leading something. So not everybody, in fact, not most, but some people need to get out of there and spread their wings and go start this thing over again,
yeah,
so that more people can meet Jesus.
Yeah.
Speaking from experience too, I mean, this is hard. I mean, this is a sacrifice of mission where to send people out and to multiply. I mean, I think of several gospel communities that I have been, especially ones that started off really difficult, and it was hard work, and it took a while to get to a place of growth and health, and then for that thing to multiply, you're like, man, I busted my rear with these people for a year and a half, and now we're multiplying. So there is always going to be a piece where this is hard. I mean, I repeatedly go back to that passage in Acts where Paul's saying goodbye to, I think it's the Ephesian elders,
where
they're weeping because they recognize mission kind of pulls, you know, will send people out. So this is part of the sacrifice. I mean, this is part of where we die to preference. But at the same time, and not to get, you know, overly spiritual about this, you know, the glory of, you know, the end of our mission when Christ does return is that, hey, we're unified and mm-hmm. the mission is done.
Mm-hmm. I think this multiplication thing is a key distinction, especially for listeners in our church, because they tend to, some people can see multiplication as a threat. Like, oh, I don't want to get too close to you because you're going to multiply out. But Chris, what you just said is really helpful. Like if I want to embrace the mission of what we're doing here, which is making disciples, then this is a cost. And it's going to cost me a little bit of even just the fact that like, oh, I kind of like these people and I don't really want them to go, but you know what? That's okay. We're going to send them. Mm-hmm. So that people we don't even know yet can meet Jesus. Mm-hmm. So you are multiplying. You're not disbanding. You're not disengaging. Nobody's shutting anything down. You're legitimately multiplying if that's what's happening in your GC.
All right, so four marks of a healthy gospel community: gospel-centered conversation, formative community, intentional mission, and effective leadership. To the extent that these four realities are present, you probably have a community that's leaning toward health. To the extent that you have gaps in any of these four areas, you might be experiencing some unhealthiness in your community. And so I hope that helps you sort of take stock and know how to pray, how to long, how to hope for God to create more and more health in the gospel community or church that you're a part of.
That's going to do it for this week's conversation. The goal of the Wednesday Conversation podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in. And we pray that the things that we've talked about today might also be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. Please join us again next Wednesday for another Wednesday Conversation.